I should get a nice doorbell ring for our alarm. Bing, boom, bing, boom. Boom, boom, bing, boom. All righty. Dave, will you pray for us this morning? Amen. All right, any questions up to this point on the Old Testament survey? Anything up to this point that we need to go over again or get some clarification on? Do we remember where we left off last week? We just talked about the different phases of exile. Right? Nebuchadnezzar and the Persians, and then them coming back with Zerubbabel, Ezra, or Nehemiah and Ezra, different groups coming back and getting that stuff built up and getting things going again. And it's really from here on out, when the children of Israel come back, that they really, the prophets start focusing on a new covenant, a new Israel, a new king. Getting blessings in the land and possessing it and what that's going to look like. More end time stuff. Now, they're not going to use the word end times, right? But they're talking about a future Israel with the future king. Dabbled in there is a Messiah and him dying, okay? There's nothing really there on him dying for the sins of mankind. That's later revealed, okay? That's later revealed. At the time, yes, there's a Messiah coming. He's going to die. There's also a leader, okay, who's going to come and rule and reign. And it's that unclearness, that clarity that's distorted that the children of Israel have a hard time grasping. They understood it as the day of the Lord. Yep, so when we talk about the day of the Lord, that's tribulation and millennial. Okay, day of the Lord, tribulation, millennial. Now, we have got to remember that this topic, I'm going to backtrack here in a minute, but this topic of end time stuff is widely misinterpreted. Okay? Widely misinterpreted. There are people looking at signs, right now, that are actually misplaced. Look, there's wars and rumors of wars. Okay, that comes in the tribulation period, and we're not there yet. So that language, wars and rumors of wars, is not for us. But people are saying it is. Look what's happening. Look over in Russia and look at Israel and look at America and look at, yeah, and? But the Bible says, whoa, we're in the wrong time period. The Bible does say that, but that's after the rapture. That's during in the seven-year tribulation period, that language. There's confusion on Matthew 24, the first half of 24 in Matthew, is the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. So people are getting confused about, you know, what signs to look for. Okay? The nation of Israel looks for those signs of a redeemer coming, of a king. We look for a savior where we meet him in the air. So there are no signs for the rapture. There are no signs. Everything's fulfilled. That's why we believe in a doctrine called imminency. It could happen at any moment. We don't need Russia to do anything, China to do anything. We don't need anything in Ezekiel to happen. We don't need anything in Daniel to happen. We don't need anything in The two main books on this is Joel and Zephaniah. None of that has to happen. We can go now. We could have gone, the church could have gone the last 2,000 years. Just because we in our time have internet and FaceTime, we can watch things around the world, doesn't mean that, look, well, now we can see everything as it happens. That's true for us now. That same language would have been true for them back then. That same language would have been true in the context for them back then. We don't need technology. We don't need no microchip to be in our hands and our forehead. It could have been the same exact thing as a tattoo 2,000 years ago. Does that make sense what I'm saying? All right. So don't get anxious. Don't get anxious. The believers, when the Bible was written, thought the same thing. Christ is coming. Yeah. They might believe in the rapture, but they're looking at the signs being done before the rapture. Because there are three views of the rapture. You know, pre-trib, which is us, mid-trib, which is when the Antichrist says, this is who I am, right? And then post-trib, which that group believes that we go up and come right back down. So there are different views of the rapture also. But people misinterpret signs that even believe in pre-trib rapture. They misinterpret because they're saying, look what's happening in the world today. Listen to a sermon in 1950. Yeah, they still could believe in the rapture. Yeah, amen. Yeah. They might still believe in it, but they're looking at signs as to the rapture coming. So they're misinterpreting what those signs are for. You know? Yeah, it's backwards. So if you just look at the context of Scripture, which that's what we focus on here at The Way, is that Paul thought that he was not going to die at one point, that he would see Christ in the air. At one time he thought that. It wasn't until later it was revealed to Paul, after he wrote that he knew in 2 Timothy, okay, now I know I'm going to die. Now I know I'm going to die. But he is writing as if the rapture is going to happen in Paul's time. Good, right? Okay, so when the world recognizes it, the Jews have always been there. They've never left. Mm-hmm. So they've always been there. Now, that language is millennial tribulation, not now. Okay, so how do I explain this? Yeah, for you to understand, and to where it makes sense. Go ahead, Dave. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let me do this. Back here. Now I say Old Testament, I'm going to be dispensationally correct and say when the nation of Israel became a nation and was in the land, okay? So nothing pre-Canaan land, okay? There, the language, I'm going to have to do a deep dive on this with you guys, I think. The language here for this people, all right, so we're looking at Ezra, Nehemiah, we're looking at Joel, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Ezekiel. Okay, this stuff that they're talking about and encouraging them with, all right, is all focused. The church and rapture are not in the Old Testament. Okay, so there's a difference. All right, so keep that in mind. The Jew and Gentile being one, the mystery of Christ in us, the mystery of the church, nothing there. Okay, so this audience is being told about things for them that God's going to do for them. And it gets into that a little bit in Romans 11 and 10 and 11. Okay, it's all pointing here. Now, and here. Okay, Daniel also. What we have to be careful of is while the church is here, okay, while we're here, not to look back at this and say, this is what I look for. You weren't even thought of. You were not on the writer's mind. Who was on the writer's mind? These people. It's writing for them. Okay. Kind of, sort of. Okay. So let's stay here. These writings in the Old Testament, where all the signs are, right? Where all the signs are. Okay. They skip us and go here. Revelation, the second half of Revelation, is just this in Greek. And explain. Okay? So just because it's in Revelation, and written in like 90s AD, doesn't mean it's something new for the church. Okay? The first five chapters are yes. It was for the church at that time. The letters to Ephesus, right? Smyrna, the seven churches. We weren't on their mind. All right? Technology wasn't on their mind. All that stuff. They thought that these writings given to them, they were going to see. Okay. Right? Okay. Now, from Revelation 6 on is just this stuff highlighted here. Okay? It's going to say the same stuff. It's going to expound on it more. It's going to give a little bit more, a different angle, different detail. Okay? Does that make sense what I'm trying to do? Okay. So, we're here. We're right here in this area. After the resurrection of Christ, our time here, we don't know, and I say us as the church, we can get raptured out at any moment. There is nothing I look to say, wow, the end is coming now, or wow, the end is coming soon. There's nothing I look for that. I'm not looking for the end of anything. Does that make sense? There's nothing I'm looking to say, wow, the tribulation is close. In the New Testament writings, in 2 Corinthians, it says, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day that it's near. Some of the first books that Paul wrote in Thessalonians talked about an antichrist. There are already many antichrists. Okay? So what we want to be careful of is looking at things to say, this is going to now prompt me or move me or, oh, I see now. No, if you're not seeing... if you're not seeing it just from what the Bible says in the context, you're looking at the wrong things. You're missing it. And so are the people on TV. Does it make for good clickbait? Oh, yeah. Does it make for good... They're focusing on the unknown because people are anxious about the unknown. It's kind of sick that people want to use that to get you to be, like, anxious about things that might be, could be, maybe... No. Our writings are here. And there's nothing for the future. Nothing. Paul clarified that when the Thessalonians did that. So in 2 Thessalonians, what did they do? You guys remember? You're missing it, right? He's saying to them, listen, you're not going to be a part of that. And just to have some evidence that you're not going to be a part of that, here's what's got to happen first, right? What he was saying had to happen first is this, 7-year tribulation. He's clarifying, hey, no, there's going to come a delusion. That's in the tribulation. The delusion's not in the church age. Okay, the man of sin has to be revealed. That's the 3.5-year mark. That's here. That's not here. He's saying you guys won't even be a part of that. And to prove that, these things haven't happened, nor will they when you're alive. So Paul's clarifying also that, hey, we're here. This isn't for us. So I'm not looking at any signs here. So when people read their Bible, they say, oh, wow, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes in diverse places. Yes, absolutely. Here. Not here. Here. Okay, so we're misreading where at in the time this is supposed to be happening. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Yeah. Any questions? And it's okay. Don't feel dumb. This can be hard to grasp. It's all right. Go ahead, Ray. No. So again, don't look at what's going on. No, don't look at the one world government. Don't look at any of that. Paul thought they were going to have it back here. Was there a one world government? Was Rome in charge? Heyo! Rome was in charge, weren't they? Did the Jews have any power? The Jews had no power. No. What other nations had power? Very little. Right? Only a handful of nations that had power. Who was the main world power back here in the New Testament writings? Rome. And Paul thought that he was going to get raptured in his day. Right? Okay, so does John when he writes First John. He thinks that we're going. He thinks we're going. Nope. It'll just happen. Mm-hmm. So I don't look at anything, to answer your question. There's nothing I look for to go, oh, man, it's getting close. No, there's nothing for me to look at to say it's getting close. There's nothing. Because when the Bible was written about the rapture, they thought it was going to happen. And when was that? 2,000 years ago. So the language that we see there when it talks about governments being aligned, or and again, we infer some of that also. We say, hey, this is what it's saying, but it probably looks like this. And now when the things that we infer and say it probably looks like this becomes a doctrine, now my mind's on what it might be rather than, no, here's what it's saying. We don't know what that is. And what that is could have happened back here. That helping you out a little bit? So, let me ask you this: Why are you equating the whole world can see this to the technology we have now? So the known world at that time was what? That's small, right? And then, so we have to, it has to be subjective. The whole known world knowing the two witnesses at that time, they would have known. They would have known. Equivalent to what that meant for them. The whole world knows. The whole world saw. Okay. What would that language mean to them at that time? Not us now, to them at that time. Put our minds in the context. Put our minds there. What would that have meant to them, do you guys think? Right. Yeah. So it's subjective. It's they know. And they knew what that meant by everyone will know. It wasn't a mystery for them. 2,000 years ago, they're not thinking, how are we all going to know? They don't think that. That's a thought process we've created for us, because we're thinking, how would we all know that based on what we're translating that to? They're not going, how would we all know that? They know automatically. Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Dennis. Good point. Yeah, by faith we believe, right? Hebrews 11. Right. So going back to the nation of Israel being a nation, just because the world, the outside society says, you are now a nation, means nothing biblically. So just because someone says, we're going to recognize you, or you're now a state, means nothing biblically. Because in God's eyes, when God promised it to Abraham, that was it. So it doesn't matter what society says, what the world says, what other governors or kings say. God said it, that settles it. So 1947, whatever happened with that writing, didn't even need to happen. That doesn't have to happen. Go ahead. Thank you. And so that first part is Christ's first coming, and then what was to follow. So he came, this is what he did, Holy Spirit comes down, now we know these things, moving forward. Mm-hmm. He's coming again, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, John. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, absolutely. We have the whole book, Acts of the Apostles, right? What were they doing? You know, exactly what Christ told them to do. You got to get it out. You know, yep. Yeah, exactly. So imminency is taught throughout Scripture, whether it's Peter, John, Paul. I mean, those guys know that, hey, it could be any day now. So they're not looking for anything to happen or be established or how is this going to come true. What gets tricky is when John comes on the scene 30 years later. With writing Revelation, right? So John hasn't wrote Revelation up until 90s AD, right? So if pre-90s AD, they're thinking, we gotta get the gospel out, Christ is coming, or we're gonna die, because we're being hunted like animals. That was the context of the New Testament. John comes on the scene, right? About 30 years after Paul wrote 2 Timothy, some of the last writings, and talks to the churches at that time, and then what was going to come, which again is Jewish, because it's just shining a different light on this stuff back here. It's clarifying the beast, the false prophet, the Antichrist. That's nothing new. They've already talked about that stuff in the Old Testament. He's just now giving a little bit more detail, like shining more of a flashlight on it. On what was already spoken. But we like a mystery. Our minds like to look at things on the unknown. And if I look at the New Testament, there's only a handful of teachings that are repetitive. They're repetitive. Our brains love repetitive. Our minds neurologically like things repeated, repeated, repeated. There are a handful of things that Paul and Peter teach over and over and over and over. They're there. Looking for signs is not one of them. Is not one of them. It's amazing how much time is given to looking at signs when the New Testament authors spent no time teaching on looking at signs. Good, Dave. I think it was more the churches. I think it was... Right, I think it was just a... Because the letter, Revelation, is to the seven churches. Okay. It's still... So the first five chapters in this letter are addressing what they're doing. But the whole letter is still to be given to them to read. And to go over it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Let me figure out how to articulate this. You guys are doing a good job with me. This is good. How much of the Old Testament minor prophets are written to the contextual group or to a future group? Mm-hmm. A lot, right? So a lot of the writings that are written in the Old Testament are not to that group. It's written for them to learn and read, but all the stuff in here coming forward, which we haven't been to yet, Daniel, Joel, Zephaniah, Zechariah, right? That's to that group as a promise to them going, this is going to happen. But they never saw it. Yep, so that writing to those seven churches at that time also are going to carry forward to a group that's not at that time. Just like several of these writings back here, the Revelation is the same thing. It's going to be written for a future group. It's to them now to learn and to understand and have hope at that time, knowing that another group's going to read this also. It's addressed to another group as well inside that writing. Right. Okay. So even in knowing that letter, even in knowing Revelation or any of the New Testament books, things that we can take out of there for us, the focus is still not on tribulation or millennial signs for the church. They're still focused on ministry. They're still focused on the church, giving the gospel, ministering to each other, the fellowship, right? That's the main focus. Now, is there a group that will focus on this? Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Good. Right. Exactly, yep. And Gentiles, absolutely. Yep, and it's going to confirm also that, you know, if I read Romans 12 correctly, all Israel will be saved when the Antichrist announces who he is. Again, mid-trib, we won't see that, right? They're going to go, oh man, we messed up, and they'll cry out to God, and all Israel will be saved. Totally, absolutely. And where are you at when that's, and so if when that's happening, where are you? You're in heaven. Isn't that crazy to think about? You're in heaven while that's happening. So there are things that you're going to see that John saw in heaven. You're going to be there seeing the same things firsthand. Where it gets really cool. So, backtrack. I don't look at any sign, there's no sign for me to look for, that motivates me to do what I have to do. I do it because he loves me, I love him, he said this, I do it. So, and I don't look at, okay, now I see that everyone can watch the two witnesses, you know, die. That's subjective to that culture at that time. That could have happened 1,000 years ago. They would have known. They would have known what that meant, you know. So each generation has an Antichrist. Each generation has the world will know. You know, what gospel was Christ preaching in the Old Testament? When Christ was alive in the Old Testament, what gospel was he preaching? Huh? Which is what? Well, the millennial, right? He wasn't preaching, I'm coming to die for you. What was he preaching? This has come. Knowing that this hadn't happened yet. Technically, if the people in the Old Testament, when Christ was alive, accepted Jesus as their king, boop, we would have skipped all this and went here. Even after how many prophecies of this happening? A lot. God, Jesus Christ, in the Old Testament, when he was alive, gave them every opportunity to receive him as king. It wasn't a trick or, hey, I know you guys are going to deny me. No, he still gave them an opportunity, and they denied him, which ushered in the church, which is going to come with the rapture, which is going to come with the tribulation and millennium. He knew that. Honestly preaching, hey, the kingdom of heaven is here. The millennium has come. I'm your king. I've come. And they denied him. Okay, which brings in all of this, this, and this to pass. Wild, isn't it? Did that help out at all? Okay, I taught nothing of what I wanted to teach today, but as long as we're learning, all right, Ray? So, and everybody, don't look, maybe stop watching TV and YouTube channels that focus on all these prophecies, because they're misinterpreting. Matthew 24 is here. Wars and rumors of wars, not for us. Those are signs of the tribulation. The first half of Matthew 24, earthquakes in diverse places, famines, wars, that is the first 3.5 years there. You'll know, because it's confirmed here, that that's going to happen also, and it's confirmed in the book of Revelation that those things are going to happen also. So we have 3 accounts of wars, rumors of wars, and famines in the first 3.5 years. The Antichrist comes on the scene because he brings peace to those wars and rumors of wars. Here. Not here. Here. Pretty cool, right? All right, any final questions? And there's no such thing as a bad question. Because we want to understand. Because now when I grab the Word of God and I'm reading, I can place a time on what's happening. Because sometimes we can read just words on a page, and then our mind wanders on, well, is this for me now? Was this for them back then? Is this future? What does this mean for me now? Right? What are our thoughts? What did we learn today? Right, and that's opposite teaching of what I'm trying to teach us here. I don't care what happens circumstantially. I could care less what's going on around me. I don't need any outside circumstance to motivate me to do what God asked me to do. Right? My service to God is because he loves me, I love him, and I know my purpose and I live it out regardless of what happens around me. I don't need nothing exterior to motivate me. It's because of who I am and how he views me, how he accepts me, how I have value in him that I live my life out, regardless of what I see or don't see. Because in China or Turkmenistan, these conversations are not being had. The believers in Ethiopia aren't talking like us based on circumstances. Wait, if we talk about Jesus, we're going to get killed, so therefore we can't do that, or we should do that. No, regardless, boop, we do it because he loves us, and we love him. Go ahead, Dennis. Yeah, hey-o. Now, don't get me wrong. Do I like looking at that stuff of signs and different things? Totally. It's very appealing. It's very appealing. But we have to also keep in check, okay, who is this for? What times are these in? And not get carried away. I've seen a lot of cool videos. I've heard guys explain things very, very well. Just wrong time period, right? Yeah, yes and no. I mean, a mature believer can spend a lot of time in the Old Testament, and they know this is for them at this time. It's not going to sway. I'm not going to read the book of Psalm and say, I'm going to claim that promise that David had. Well, that's not for you. David just said that to God. It's between him and God. It wasn't for the nation of Israel. It wasn't for the Jews. It was just between David and God, right? So a mature believer can dabble in there a lot more because they're mature. They have a balance. They go, hey, yeah, I'm learning this. I know. I want to know more. I want to know my heritage from a Jewish perspective. I want to know how God spoke to the Jews at this time, how he took care of them. Because you'll see in the Old Testament God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, God's provision, right, to the Jews. Now, you can't say a mature believer isn't going to go, this is how God is now going to take care of me, love, provision, those things. How God took care of the Old Testament people is not how he takes care of the New Testament people. They're different. And a mature believer knows that. So a young person, I'm saying, stay out of the Old Testament. Stay out of the Gospels. Don't even go in the Gospels just yet. Stay out. And here's why. When Paul and Peter and John are teaching 1 John or Peter or the epistles, they're not quoting word for word what Matthew and those guys are saying. Right? That, you know, was written at different times also. So, I mean, even after the Gospels were written, Paul never just quoted what the Gospels were. Does that make sense what I'm saying? He's saying, yes, here's an account of Jesus. Here's what he did. Here's how he fulfilled the Old Testament. What does that mean for us moving forward? Moving forward. So he didn't neglect all of Christ's teachings. But about 75% of Christ's teachings were for the Jewish people at that time. And they don't go forward. Doesn't mean it's bad or wrong or anything like that. No, he came to fulfill a purpose. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So all of Christ's teachings are not for us. They're not for us. You can't say WWJD. You can't do that. Why? Because in the Old Testament, when Christ was alive, he was talking to the Jews at that time. He even said, don't go to the Samaritans or Gentiles. Don't go to them. Tell them the Messiah has come. Don't go to them. Now, would we say that? No. We tell everybody, right? Yeah. Good stuff. Any more thoughts? You know, for not being technical Tuesday, got pretty technical today. John, will you pray for us?